Good morning, Texas. Good morning, Fort Worth. Good morning, Dallas. Good morning, website listeners. This is Mike Paulson from North Dakota along the Lawrence Welk Highway, again, for those of you old enough to know that. This is the Cup of Goodness program this morning, where we talk about the goodness of God, not the severity of God. The goodness of God is taught through Paul. The severity of God is taught to the Jews through Jesus in the Gospels. The gospel that should be being taught in the church today are the ways of Paul. So let's just get right into where we are here. This is program 101, and we are going to continue with the program we got started this past Sunday. I don't suppose all of you were there for Sunday morning's program. We were in Ephesians chapter 5. We're looking at verse 19. And we see here, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And we did talk about the elements of music. We talked about the biggest point here being the word melody. I know that your modern Bibles, the Bibles that you folks are probably having in your possession out there in radio land, your Bibles say the word music. And so we talked about the seriousness of changing that word from melody to music. But it does get me started about music. Now, I have been involved with music since second grade. I played piano in second grade, started in band in fourth grade, and have stayed through music all my life. I took 1 year off when I was a Culligan man in Idaho. But other than that, I've always been teaching music. So, put that together with some serious Bible study over the years, just come to realize the importance of music, and then do a thorough study of every verse in that Bible that talks about music, and put a lot of conclusions together. And it doesn't take anything, no special degree or anything like that. It just helps us see the dangers of music as well as the goodness of music today. I'm sure you all know what music is. This is a music radio station, so you know what you're doing by turning to this radio station. You're still probably surprised that I'm still here after 101 messages. Do you know the language of music? Do you know what the voice of that music is? Do you know what it talks about? Do you understand the every good bird does fly, every good boy does find? Remember those taught to you in school maybe years ago? F-A-C-E. You know, all those lines, you know, things that are there. It's a voice. It is a language. And if you don't understand that language, you just know what you listen to, but you don't understand that language, that voice that's being talked to you through that music. We have to just accept our little warning in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Paul says there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. He earlier says, and even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So do you understand the language of music? Do you know what it does? Are you aware of the three elements of music? Do you know what those are? Melody, harmony, rhythm? Would you know the effect of those elements have on you? What element affects your mind? What element of music affects your body? What element of music affects your spirit? Do you know that? Did you know that you could trace history back to the three races, black, white, and brown, African, European, and Oriental? You can trace all those three races all the way back to Shem, Ham, and Japheth, Noah's three sons. If you study the music of each race going backward, you come up to a fantastic set of conclusions. It helps you realize what's going on with music today. Have you ever played a musical instrument in your life? Have you ever practiced hard enough to be able to play skillfully a musical instrument? No, a CD player or an iPad or an iPod or a computer or radio or whatever is not a musical instrument. I'm talking about, trombone, flute, clarinet, violin, voice is an instrument. Do you know what the second most versed subject in the Bible is? Music. Did you know, were you aware of, and do you believe from the scriptures that the Antichrist will cause people to bow down to him for worship with all kinds of music? Does that make sense to you? Do you believe that music has replaced the Word of God in people's lives and in churches today? And you might not believe that. Let me ask you this question. What do you do when you get up in the morning? Or what do you do when you go to bed at night? Or what do you do when you get home after a hard day of work, or you've had a bad day at work, or maybe a good day? Do you open up your Bible, or do you turn on your music? I'm sure you know what music you like and don't like. But do you know what music God would like? Do you think that's possible, that he would actually have a music from us down here that he would like or dislike, approve or not approve? Do you think that there is a music that can actually quench and grieve the Spirit of God? Here's some specific questions. What two things can we learn from Moses concerning music? Moses? Music? Yeah, there's two big things we can learn from Moses. Well, how about Amos? How about David and King Saul? You know the story of Daniel and the fire and everything. How about Daniel? What can we learn from Daniel? We can even learn something from Peter when it comes to music. And of course, there's Paul. We can certainly learn something from Paul taught us, and he warned us about not understanding that language, not knowing about the voice of music. The barbarian to you, and you're a barbarian to it. In other words, it can just lead you around like the Pied Piper. You know what you like, and you're going to listen to it, and it's going to lead you right to hell. Really, well, that's what the Pied Piper does. Study that story a little bit. And then we saw in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. If you look at that verse real closely, you see a couple of things here. You see a historical order of music, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. If you were to do a study of just American church music, if we want to call it that, when they came over from Europe and the thing first got started, they all sang psalms. Then those psalms grew into hymns. Fanny Crosby, Philip Bliss, Ira Sankey, all this music involvement in the church. It's a fantastic study. Doesn't mean that it's all good that we learn, but you study that stuff and you see how religion has grown in America. And it would be a Bible religion, a so-called Bible religion. But you'll also see that it's led everybody down to the wrong gospel. Now we'll have to do a quick general study on the history of church music in America. I think you might find that interesting. So we go from psalms, which are direct out of the Bible. You go to hymns, which are about the Bible, about the teachings of the Bible. Then you go to spiritual songs, and that could be just about anything defined spiritual. So it's kind of started with the purity and worked its way down. Now, you have to also remember we got to use those three elements. We can sing psalms today, and the way people sing psalms today is with the guitar, and they put a lot of beat in that stuff, and they bring that element of rhythm out, and it gets out of balance, and before you know it, they may be singing psalms. They're probably even singing King James verses in their psalms. But what's the music doing to them? Are people getting caught up in the harmonies in their great choirs? It sounds beautiful, and it's great, and it's pleasing, and all that stuff, but is it pleasing to God? That's the question you got to ask yourself. In these spiritual songs, what could be classified as a spiritual song? Well, any song, because a song is what you sing, and it has to be spiritual. Well, what does that mean to be spiritual? All sorts of questions you should ask yourself. But what we're going to do here, we're going to probably talk about music for a couple of days now. It's a big subject in my life. It's a big subject in our churches. And it's something that actually more mad than talking about a Bible version anymore is to talk about their music. Boy, you just don't mess with people's music. Let's just go back into our scriptures and let's look up some things here that I think you might find pretty interesting. Let's go to a quick one here. Let's go to Numbers chapter 20 with Moses. Let's go way back to Numbers. So what can we learn from Moses? Well, Numbers chapter 20, verse 7. I think you know the story. Moses and his people, they were looking for water. They were just begging for water, and they were mad at Moses for not getting water. So verse 7 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink." And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. Okay, so simple enough, Moses was supposed to go out there and speak to that rock. So in verse 10, "And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels." He wasn't happy with their complaining. "Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock?" And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. Wait a minute. Moses, you were supposed to speak to the rock. But, look what it says, "And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also." Well, who cares what God told Moses, right? He told him to speak to the rock. He went over there and he smacked the rock twice. He got his water, made the people happy, so what's the problem here? Well, if you know the rest of the story, Moses never made it into the promised land as such because he disobeyed God right there. So what does that teach us about music? That teaches us that in Timothy, Paul says, part of the correction crowd, part of the people that are proud, know nothing, and doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth. These are people that don't teach the words of Jesus Christ. One of the characteristics is supposing that gain is godliness. We have in religion today, probably just everywhere, that if you've got the numbers, it must be right. It must be working. It must be pleasing God. Look at all the people that are coming to our church. We had this one family come in and sing, and we had this orchestra come in, and we're playing this rock stuff, and we've got this great worship leader. We've got this great worship team that's coming in. We've just been really cutting back on this grumpy sermon stuff and backing off on this doctrinal issue stuff and getting some music in here. I'm telling you, we've been having people come to church never ever had before. It's got to be good. It's got to be being blessed by God. No, it doesn't. Moses was told to speak to the rock, and he hit it. He still got the water, and he got it abundantly. But he had to pay because it was wrong. So do we have to worry about God keeping us from the promised land because we have the wrong music? No. Unless, of course, you've never put your faith and trust in the risen Savior because your music is taking you to the Jesus, to the gospel Jesus or whatever, taking in some modern Bible versions. I mean, whatever it's done from that standpoint. But as a result, God isn't going to keep us from the promised land based on this. But we can still learn from Moses' lesson here. Just because it works doesn't mean it's right. And then what's the other thing we can learn from Moses? Well, this is a quick one. Exodus chapter 32. You've probably heard this one. Well, no, you probably haven't. We heard it when I was younger. Exodus 32, verse 14. You know, Moses comes down from the rock, from the mount, you know. And by the way, he went up and down more than twice. I want you to know that. One of these days, maybe I'll tell you how many times he actually went up and down that mountain to talk to God. Boy, aren't you glad that you can just pray and read your Bible and hear back from him. Don't have to climb up any mountains. Although I kind of sense that a lot of people think opening their Bible, the King James Bible, is like climbing up a mountain or something. They just don't want to do it. Not that tough, folks. It really isn't. Exodus 32, verse 14. So he comes down, and it's a mess down there. Just a mess. Just a noisy mess. In Exodus 32, verse 14, let's just read this a little bit here. Verse 14. "And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides. On the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God. And the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tables." By the way, bunny trail. Remember, this was given to just the Israelites. This was not expected of the Gentiles. Anyway, Romans chapter 2, if you want to read about it. Verse 17. "And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, There is a noise of war in the camp." You know what a war sounds like, you know? It's just terrible, all this noise and stuff. "And he said, It is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear." So it was the musicians making a racket with their music. There's the two things we can learn from Moses. That ought to be somewhat interesting to people. Somewhat, anyway. Well, here, let's review what we got out of Daniel. This is a quick one. I might take it a little slower this morning than we did Sunday. We go to Daniel chapter 3, and the story of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, and the fire and all this kind of stuff, King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar was a type of Antichrist. Okay? We won't get into that, but that's what everybody teaches and believes out there without a shadow of a doubt. That is plain and simple. He's not the Antichrist, but he's a type of one. Okay, so this Antichrist type of a guy says to these people, verse 5, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, that's a trombone, by the way, psaltery, dulcimer, those are stringed instruments, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. So if they're going to worship the image of Nebuchadnezzar, music was going to be the thing that sent them in to that point. When you hear the sound of the, you fall down and worship the golden image. So music is the power behind this worship for Nebuchadnezzar. It says it again in verse 7, therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages, I mean everybody there, fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Says it again in verse 10. Thou, O king, hast made a decree, and every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And it says it again in verse 15. Now if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There we go. So there's how that story came about. You know the story about the guys in the fire. You know the whole story. But how many knew that it was music that sets this thing up? Rock music? Certain kind of music? No. All kinds of music. Good, bad. I've said for years, the issue for Christians is not a good and bad music as much as it is just music. And that's why I say without a shadow of a doubt, in my experiences over the years, I have seen music take the place of the Bible in the church. People go to church because of the music, not because of the preaching, not because of the teaching, not because of doctrinal beliefs or whatever. In fact, I think I said this to you before, that years ago, not years ago, but a few years ago, I was preaching in the church. I was playing the piano, my wife played the organ, and the people were singing, and we had some visitors come in, and those visitors left before we were done with the first hymn that we sang. And it was kind of like, well, see, are we that bad of singers? No, we sang pretty well. It was fun. It was enjoyable. It was great. It was Bible study times through our singing, and you thought about the things that you were singing, which is kind of what prompted me to have all these hymns on the website for folks. They're hard to find these days. But anyway, these people left because of the music. They had no clue what we were teaching or preaching there. Not an ounce of a clue. So music, the power of this music has taken over. And if your Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, has the word music instead of melody, God wants to hear melody. Rhythm appeals to the flesh, and the flesh profiteth nothing. The harmony, as pretty as it is and gorgeous as it can sound, I don't see God being impressed with quartets and quintets and duets and trios and special arrangements written by this and all that kind of fancy schmancy music we got going. He just wants to hear the melody. And in fact, it even says in Ephesians, let me point this out here. I don't think I've talked about this yet here. It says here, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It's basically music is between you and God. And all this fantastic performance we've got going on in our churches today, I don't see scripturally where God is all that impressed, folks. What about these Christian radio stations? Well, we're on one, so I sure don't want to bash it. But just think about it. How did the devil get preaching and teaching a program such as mine, the Cup of Goodness, teaching about Paul and the risen Savior, his teachings? Where's the only place I can find a radio station willing to put that on is a Christian radio station. When the devil created this Christian radio format, he got all the Christians off the radio, off the public radio. These are the people out there that need to hear this stuff. Just think about it. Think about what's going on here. The devil takes the preaching and teaching, takes the Bible away from the general masses out there, puts them into a certain channel, and then just pumps up the music over the years to where the music has even replaced the Word of God in people's lives. And then we find out in our reading here that the modern Bible substitute for the word melody, which is what God wants to hear, was melody. And he puts in the word music. And then we find out in Daniel chapter 3 that all kinds of music are what is what's going to kick in the worship to the Antichrist. And we find out from Moses that just because music brings people into our church doesn't mean it pleases God. And remember, the water came abundantly. It's not that we don't have people coming to churches today, but they're coming for music. And the guy that's preaching a King James Bible, he's even had to loosen his music up. He's got the hillbillies in there. He's got the banjo plant on. No drums. Oh, he'll never have drums. Yeah, but the rhythm of those guitars is just as bad as any drum, if they want to think drums are a bad thing. Nothing wrong with the drum. It's what you do with it and how you play it, whatever. How much does it appeal to the flesh? How much does it pump the flesh, the physical? We know flesh profiteth nothing, so all this kind of stuff all comes together. I'm not sure you can pick it up after just 23 minutes of a program here this morning, but music is a huge issue today. Massively deceptive. And if we go to back to Timothy again here, we'll see in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, that's when time is running out, not last days, but in latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. Seduced. How can you be seduced? Your physical body can be seduced. Your mind can fall into the trap of music, and you're gone. You're a goner. That shows how important music is. And then we see from Moses also that the noise and the racket they had going down there when he came back was of the musicians. It was the music they were playing. So that's amazing stuff, isn't it? Let's go to Amos chapter 5 for one more this morning. Amos chapter 5. I'm going to show you something that, again, modern Bibles have changed to support the fact that what we have going on in music today is okay according to their Bibles. We go to Amos chapter 6, verse 1, where it says, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. So he's talking, back to God's people in the Old Testament days, and these guys are just sitting around. Well, how do you know they're just sitting around? Well, they're at ease. And then in verse 4, it says, that lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches. So here we have this introduction, there's the word, the introduction of a couch potato. And it says, and eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall. So whatever that is, you know. But then it says in verse 5, that chant to the sound of the viol and invent to themselves instruments of music, comma, like David, semicolon. Then it goes on and describes these couch potatoes even more. Part of that element of a couch potato in God's days was they were listening to music. That chant. Chant is the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. If you listen to most music today, rock music, whatever you want to call it, whatever genre you want to put it into, most of it's just the same thing over and over and over again. That's a chant. To the sound of the viol, that's a stringed instrument in the biblical days. And then it says, and invent to themselves instruments of music, comma, like David. Okay? Now, these are instruments that David had created, that he had built or whatever. So when it says, and invent to themselves instruments of music, like David. David had these instruments. Okay? What a modern Bible does to that verse, it takes the comma out of after the word music, which, by the way, should be spelled M-U-S-I-C-K in your Bible. And if it is not spelled with M-U-S-I-C-K, you need to get yourself a real King James Bible. See, even a lot of King James Bibles have been tweaked. They even changed some of the spellings like that. So it should be M-U-S-I-C-K. But anyway, back on the trail. They take out that comma, and then they throw in the word did. So what we see here now in a modern Bible, it says, that chant to the sound of the viol and invent to themselves instruments of music like David did. Well, David didn't do this. Well, how do you know David did do this? Well, because you go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 23. Let's see if you can find Chronicles. See if I can find Chronicles here. 1 Chronicles chapter 23. There we go. 23, verse 5. And we see here, moreover, 4,000 were porters, And 4,000 praise the Lord with the instruments which I made, said David, to praise therewith. But it says here that David made those instruments to praise God with. And so, when they take out the comma back in Amos and wrote in there like David did, they're saying, well, listen, David did this. He chanted to the sound of the viol. He was a couch potato too, invented to themselves instruments of music like David did. No, instruments of music invent to themselves? Are these instruments for themselves? David didn't make those instruments for themselves. He made them to praise God, not themselves. And if you think about it, which we don't have time to talk about this morning, most music today is just about ourselves. We're singing it to pump ourselves up. We're singing it to please ourselves. You know, we like our music. We think God does. Instead of saying, I wonder if God likes his music. If he does, I will too. You might even have to learn a little bit. Learn to like some music that you know God would like. We turn it around. If we like it, God must like it. How about if God likes it, can you prove it? And if you can, let's learn to like what God likes. And I'll tell you, it's melody. Well, there's some interesting things. The modern Bible's changed Amos and how they changed Ephesians and all these things that's going on in the world of music in our churches. I'm telling you, you walk into a church today and you've got a regular orchestra pit or a rock band stage or whatever, things have really changed. Even just in my time. And I'm not all that old, folks. Let's wrap that one up today, and we'll pick it up again tomorrow. Tomorrow, I think we'll look at David and Saul. And I'll show you something that's, again, very interesting to those that are aware or interested in music, especially those that understand the language and the voice of music. You got to watch out. Something's going on. The Pied Piper is piping, and the people are following him more than they ever have. Talk to you tomorrow, folks.